Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45. Here's Pastor Matt.
We'll be in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 to 31 tonight. All right, 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 to 31. So this evening, we are, of course, reflecting upon the cross of Christ as we celebrate and remember Good Friday today. And many sermons have focused on what makes Good Friday good. And so they emphasize that it's good because it has brought us forgiveness, as Jesus Christ was sacrificed in our place. And I would heartily agree with that emphasis, right? Christ's substitutionary sacrifice is the heart of the gospel. But this evening, I want to take a slightly different route, as I'll give another good reason for Good Friday being good, and that's God's wisdom. When you think of the cross of Christ, do you think of wisdom? I'd say we typically don't think of wisdom when it comes to the cross. We, of course, think of humility and sacrifice and love and forgiveness and amen, right? But as we will see tonight, the cross also involves wisdom. Here in 1 Corinthians 1, Paul has been confronting the division that was in the Corinthian church. As you think about how they were divided over saying, I follow Christ, I follow Apollos, I follow Cephas, I follow Paul. And they're all divided over who they follow. And now as Paul moves on to talk about the cross, he's going to show them how that mindset is actually driven by human wisdom. But the message of the cross of Christ contradicts human wisdom. And so he's showing them how their thinking, their mindset of having that sort of competition, and I follow this person, was actually following the route of human wisdom, while the cross follows the route of God's wisdom. And so it's in that context that we find our passage for this evening. So I'm going to read a portion of it. 1 Corinthians 18 says this, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." And so we see in this passage is something that comes out is that the cross causes two different responses. And so not everyone in the world hears the message of the cross and responds well to it. For some, respond negatively. Now, before we get to the two responses, let's first briefly understand the word of the cross. Well, what is that? Of course, it is Christ crucified, the crucifixion of Jesus. So Jesus lived on this earth. He was arrested. He was killed by crucifixion, and though as we know, as believers know, this wasn't a wrench in the plan of God, it was the very plan of God itself. Jesus voluntarily went to the cross in order to be the sacrifice for our sins. And so he took our sins upon himself. He paid the penalty so that we could be forgiven, we could no longer be condemned. He was that perfect sacrificial lamb. As he was sinless. And it's that message that people respond differently to. If you look at verse 18, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing," so you see one side, "but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." A And so one response is from those who are perishing. Since they have not trusted in Christ and repent of their sins, this is the reality. They are perishing, meaning they are on their way to hell. And the sad reality is that they are perishing because they see the cross as foolish. That's their response to the fact that Christ was crucified. They just deem it foolish. Later on in verses 22 and 23, Paul expands upon this. He talks about the Jew and the Greek, and he says that the Jews, they want signs, right? And so Christ crucified becomes a stumbling block for them. You see, the Jews wanted these signs of amazing power, but the cross is this image of weakness, of powerlessness. And so they stumble over this truth because they thought that's something that could never happen to the Messiah, right? And so they had in their mind that the Messiah would be this conquering king. And we know he will in his second coming, but he wasn't in his first. And so they thought that he would come and just come in power and vanquish all their enemies. But they didn't consider the many prophecies. You think about Isaiah, the suffering servant, afflicted and smitten by God. They also thought about the truth that anyone who hangs on a tree is cursed, and that made them stumble over Christ, because here is Christ, who many saw as the Messiah, and he's hung on a tree. He's cursed. So it's like in their minds, like, how could the Messiah hang on a tree? How could the Messiah die? And they stumble over it. And so that's how the Jews responded. And Paul says the Greeks also respond in a negative way, but for a different reason. The Greeks, the non-Jews, they sought wisdom above all. Right? And since the cross goes against human wisdom, then they saw it as foolish. They sought after wisdom. That is, they sought after things that were reasonable. They made sense according to their wisdom. But the cross didn't seem rational to them. It didn't seem to follow their wisdom. Like, how could a Savior die? So imagine someone telling you that their Savior died by the electric chair. You would be baffled and say, that doesn't make sense. Right? D.A. Carson gives this a couple illustrations of kind of what the cross would be like to first century people. The shock of it, right? Sometimes we're desensitized to the shock of the cross. Crucifixion in that day was brutal, right? And so he gives these illustrations. He says, imagine a coworker coming into work with earrings stamped with a mushroom cloud of the atomic bomb on it. Imagine a church with images of the mass graves of Auschwitz all over it. That's what it was like to hear for a first century person, that hear that a Savior was crucified. It's shocking. It goes against human wisdom. And yet the gospel says that we are saved through a Savior who died by crucifixion. And if you really think about it, we are preaching a Savior who died. Right? Now, of course, we know that he rose again, and we preach that as well, but he also died. You see, human wisdom is self-reliant, not God-reliant. Human wisdom, it hears of the cross, and it thinks, I could think of something better than that. Human wisdom hears of the cross and says, my God would never do that. That's not how I would do it, because that's human wisdom speaking. And so human wisdom says the cross is foolish. And this, considering the cross is foolish, isn't something that only happened in the past, but it happens even now. In a book by Graham Tomlin, he says this: some while ago, I picked up a book in a secondhand bookshop. And it was old, slightly faded paperback with what looked like an intriguing title, The God I Want. Published in the late 1960s, it was this collection of essays by various public figures explaining the kind of God they could cope with, the God they could bring themselves to believe in. And none of them said they wanted a crucified God. The cross of Jesus simply bars the way to that approach by confronting us with something that so offends common sense that it makes us start back at square one. It tells us that the journey to find God starts not with human wisdom, human chattering and speculation on what kind of God we might like. So that's the thing with the cross. It's offensive, it's shocking, it's deemed foolish by those who don't believe. It contradicts human wisdom. And so Paul is showing us that human wisdom will never lead you to the cross. Human wisdom will never lead you to the cross, but away from it. And so Paul says in verse 20, where is the one who is wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? No humanly wise person has thought of the cross, but instead they think it foolish. You see, to those perishing, the cross is foolish. But to those who are being saved, it is powerful. They believe this because the Spirit helps them see past the barrier of human wisdom to the treasure of God's wisdom underneath. They believe because God works in their lives and calls them and helps them see with eyes of faith the true nature of the cross. And so we who believe in the cross, we don't deem the crucifixion of Christ as foolish, but powerful. And the reason is because we have understood that the cross alone saves. That is where the power is found. We have grasped the truth that it is through the death of Jesus that the bondage of sin is broken, we are freed from that bondage, we are forgiven, and we are saved. You see, the death of Jesus is the only way to deal with the sin problem of humanity. And so that's why it's truly the power and wisdom of God. So what looked like God's weakness was actually God's power on display. What looked like foolishness was actually God's wisdom unveiled in full splendor. And so we who believe in Christ's work on the cross have recognized that Christ is truly the wisdom and power of God. We have trusted in Him alone, and we can only boast in Him alone because human wisdom didn't get us there. Human wisdom couldn't lead us there because human wisdom contradicts it. Those who believe in Christ's sacrifice have believed in something totally contrary to the world's thinking. So how can we boast? We can't. Paul says that actually God did this so that no person could boast. The way that God crafted it was so that no person could say, look, I thought it up. Look, I did it. And God says, no way. This contradicts everything that you're thinking and in your wisdom. So God says, no, I did it. There are two responses to the message of the cross. Either you deem it foolish and you don't believe in what Christ did, or you trust God's wisdom and you believe it. And so for those who think it foolish, you remain condemned and you are perishing. But for those who see it for what it is and you believe, then there is salvation. And so what is your response to the cross? When you hear that Jesus Christ died, what is your response to that? So there are two responses, but also he shows us that the cross is where God made foolish the wisdom of the world. The cross is the very place where God made foolish the wisdom of the world. There's this documentary movie, and I recommend you all watch it, but American Gospel, Christ Crucified. And in it, there's several people who are interviewed, and they can't come to grips with the fact that Christ was crucified in our place. And so what they do is they claim that it was divine child abuse. Or they say, you know, why did God have to kill anyone? Or, you know, why couldn't he just forgive? And even just a couple weeks ago, my 4-year-old son, he randomly said, Jesus was tied up. Why didn't he just use his power to get out? That's human wisdom coming out. Because it's wondering, why didn't he just save himself? Now, of course, my son is still learning the purpose of the cross, but it shows the basic tendency of human wisdom is to think, why would the king of the universe be tied up and be killed without escaping? I think about even that passage I read in Mark. Some people around the cross say that. It's like, why can't he just get down on the off the cross? You see, the cross doesn't make sense according to human wisdom. But that's because God chose to make foolish the wisdom of the world. So let's first tackle the question of how. How did God make foolish the wisdom of the world? How did he, and here's the thing, God didn't make the wisdom of the world just look foolish. He actually made it to be foolish. And we touched on this earlier. Human wisdom says the crucifixion of a Savior is foolish. Human wisdom never leads to a crucified Messiah. Because human wisdom is all about amazing displays of power and might and what makes sense in our mind. You see, human wisdom doesn't like things that are low and humble. They like things that appear successful, right? I'll give two quick illustrations. What does our world promote more? The person who has a job, a higher up job making six figures, or the person doing some manual labor barely making ends meet? What does our world celebrate more, the proud celebrity or the humble housewife of five kids? Think about it. What does our world promote more and celebrate more? They like things that appear successful, not the low and humble. You see, human wisdom boasts in the powerful and mighty, and God has made it that human wisdom can't save. And so that's one aspect of how he actually made human wisdom foolishness is because it can't save it all. It has no power. So even though human wisdom, it boasts in power, but it's powerless, right? Human wisdom is powerless to deal with the biggest problems of life. So human wisdom, it looks wise. But in reality, it's foolish because it gets the most important and pressing issues wrong. It's powerless to deal with the problem of sin. Human wisdom, it won't lead you to being freed from the dominion of sin or the penalty of sin. Human wisdom leaves you under sin and under condemnation. And so God made it so human wisdom can't save. But he has also chosen what is deemed foolish in this world to be the true power. So what I mean by that is the cross is regarded as foolish, and yet that is the very thing that God chose to save. And so through this setup, God has shamed human wisdom and brought it to nothing. And so now human wisdom lays dead at the foot of the cross. It's incapable of saving. It's shown to be foolish by God's wisdom. And in this way, what is considered foolish and weak of God to do is so much more powerful and wise than man's strength and wisdom. And so that's how he made it foolish, but why? Why would he choose something that is so contrary to our wisdom, human wisdom, so that our only boast would be in him? Verse 19, he's quoting from Isaiah, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. God has promised that he would destroy and thwart human wisdom, and he has done so through Jesus' death. Paul even tells us this purpose in verses 27 through 31 when he says that God chose what was foolish to shame the wise in order that no human might boast in the presence of God. We can't boast because our wisdom didn't lead to the cross. Our wisdom led away from it, not to it. We can't boast because our wisdom doesn't have the power to save. It falls short time and time again. And yet how often, think about this, and yet how often do Christians look to the wisdom of the world rather than God's wisdom to solve the issues of life? Human wisdom was made foolish by God's wisdom and power in the cross. And that's what this passage shows us, is that Good Friday, get this, Good Friday gave a death blow to human wisdom and showed off God's power and wisdom in its place. Human wisdom is slayed and brought low by God. And so what that means is that we don't trust our own wisdom. We don't trust our thoughts. We don't trust our feelings, because they can't save you. They've been made foolish by God. Instead, we trust God's wisdom, which we find in His Word. And so we trust it to save, but we also trust it to live each and every day. That's all what the book of Proverbs is about, searching after God's wisdom to live in this world. Since God has orchestrated that the cross alone would save, so now each person who is saved must thrust aside human wisdom and trust in God's wisdom, even though it looks foolish to human wisdom. So in order to believe in the cross, you can't trust in yourself, right? But rather, you must trust in Christ. You must trust in God and His Word. Because, get this, human wisdom says that Good Friday is just another day. God's wisdom makes the truth behind Good Friday good. And so we humble ourselves and we trust in His wisdom and not our wisdom, thoughts, or feelings. And so trust no longer in what you think God would do. Trust in what God said He has done. And so we look in His Word and see what He has done, and we trust that. He sent Christ to die for our sins. Christ was sent by the Father to this earth. He came, and He lived a perfect life that you couldn't live, that I couldn't live. And He went and died an excruciating death by crucifixion on the cross of wood. And He did so for a purpose, in order to take your sin upon Himself and to pay the penalty for your sins, but also to credit you with His, to credit His righteousness to your account. And then He rose from the grave. And He did this so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be reconciled to God, no longer under condemnation, given new life, declared righteous in God's sight. And so this passage leads each of us to think about, what is your response to the cross? Is it to deem it foolish? Is it to deem it thinking, oh, I can do better, I can save myself through my good works? No. The cross humbles us and says, I can only boast in the Lord. Because my human wisdom couldn't lead me there. My human wisdom couldn't save. My good works couldn't save. But God had to, by sending His Son in my place. And so the Bible says we must repent of our sins and believe in Jesus Christ's finished work in order to be saved. Will you do that tonight if you haven't? And if you do that tonight, this Friday can truly be a good Friday to you, for it can be the day of salvation. But if you cling to your wisdom and reject Christ's work, then you will remain condemned and you will perish. You see, the cross humbles each of us and makes us abandon our own wisdom and righteousness. And instead, it makes us rest and rely on Christ, who became to us the wisdom of God. The cross alone saves, and the cross makes it so that we cannot boast in the presence of God because of our wisdom or good works, but we must boast in the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You once again on this evening, Good Friday, as we call it, as we celebrate, as we remember. And I just pray that You would help each of us. And I just pray that if there's someone here today who has never repent of their sins and trust in you, that they would do that tonight. That truly this Friday can be a good Friday, the day of salvation. And I just pray for those who also have trusted in Christ and who have realized the true worth and true purpose and the true wisdom behind the cross. I pray that we will remember what happened in the cross, that it truly was your wisdom. And so help us then to live our lives looking to your wisdom and rather than the world's or our human wisdom. Help us each in that endeavor. In Christ's name, amen.